We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Big issues. We may help them right here with a man who clearly knows way more about football than I do, since he doesn't think the Eagles are that great. And after last night, I have my own doubts. From Comcast Sportsnet, the great, great Dittiger. Hi, Ray.
Morning, Angelo.
And by the way, I should also mention Tommy and Me is still playing now. If you want to see it, get out there.
I saw it again the other night. It was outstanding.
Is it great?
Yep.
It is a phenomenal, phenomenal performance. TheaterExile.org.
It's sold out.
You can get them. Ray, is there anything left at all for Tommy and Me?
You can waitlist if you you can go down to the theater and wait. Usually there's a few folks who, you know, who don't make it, and there's a few seats that are available right before curtain, and you can jump on those. So we've had a few folks waitlisting the last couple nights, but Al's right, it has sold out. But if you really, really want to come, you can go down a waitlist, and those folks usually get in.
And these waitlist people, is there a weight limit for the waitlist?
No.
Okay, good. Missed that. So even heavy people. All right, Ray, I don't know what to say. I feel shame this morning. I've been very, very optimistic about the team. And, boy, what I saw from that offense last night was alarming. Give me your thoughts on the running of the offense last night in the preseason game.
Pretty bumpy. Yeah, pretty bumpy. I mean, it's but, you know, I would say to you and I would say to everybody out there, it's a little bit concerned. You know, it is the preseason. You know, that's what these games are for. And they aren't always a true indicator of what you've got. I mean, it's still, you look at the, you know, you're missing Jason Peters. You had Lane Johnson playing out of position. You didn't have Vitae to move in at right tackle. They had to go with Matt Tobin. You know, Alshon Jeffrey gets his first game action. So he and Wentz are trying to find their rhythm and their timing. It was what you would have expected. I mean, it was sloppy and it was unimpressive and it was not good. But I mean, it was the second preseason game. I think next Thursday, next week totally. And you're going to have Miami's going to come in here early and they're going to work against each other for a couple of days, and then they're going to play the game on Thursday. My feeling is watch next week. You know, see how the practices go, see how the game goes Thursday, and then I think you'll have a better indication. I would not, and I've always said this about preseason games, you should never, never, ever overreact to preseason games, either good or bad.
I tend to overreact to everything, right? If the toast is a little too dark, I overreact. So this is not new for me, right? But here's the thing that bothers me, all right? And the coach himself says to us this week, we, our top priority, establish a running game. Let's run the ball. We've got this new runner, Blunt, who's a great straight-up forward runner. First play of the game, here's what it is. Right. But does it make sense to you that using Blunt on sweeps?
No, but I don't think that's going to be something you're going to ask him to do during the regular season.
Then don't put it in there. What's it in there for?
Well, I mean, they're just running. You know, you heard Doug say, if he said it once, he must have said it 10 times in his post-game press conferences, that they're not really game planning. They're just working on things, and they're trying to work on timing. But the point that you're making is a good one. I mean, Blunt is... I mean, he's a between-the-tackles runner. You know, stretch plays and those kind of late-developing, slow-developing plays and running to the edges, you know, that's not what you got him for. I mean, he's a 250-pound sledgehammer. He's supposed to run between the tackles. If Smallwood had been able to play, you know, he's the kind of guy that can run that sort of play, but he hasn't been available to you. But, you know, I think the kid's got to get on the field pretty soon here. I mean, Corey Clement is the one back that's actually showing you something.
Well, Ray, that leads. I don't think Smallwood would have been effective on that play either, because it did not appear that Lane Johnson did much of anything at left tackle last night. Could you evaluate him for us?
Very poor. Very poor. It was, I mean, he didn't do, and the whole offensive line didn't get any push at all. I mean, they were being pushed around, and they were being controlled by the Buffalo front. Lane Johnson looked really out of sorts at left tackle. You know, I know he's a good player, and I'm not, I'm not concerned about him. But I mean, it was just sort of symptomatic of the whole offensive line. It was just, it was a really, really poor performance by the offensive line. And this is, you know, this is 2 weeks in a row where you didn't have any success trying to run the ball, and you didn't seem to have much of a commitment by the coach in attempting to run the ball. You know, and I wonder if that's kind of a foreshadowing of what you're going to get in the regular season, where the team's going to be, you know, very Andy-like in terms of the play calling, where it's going to be all about the passing game and not about the run. And I really still do believe is when you got a young quarterback, I mean, you need to give the young quarterback the support of a good running game. And right now, through two games, we haven't seen very much of that.
All right, let's go to the positives. There was one huge positive, Ronald Darby. Ray, what are your thoughts on that kid in his very first performance as an Eagle?
He's really good, Ange, and that's something that we've been saying ever since the trade was made. I mean, now they gave up a lot, let's face it. I mean, you know, Matthews in a third-round pick is a lot to give up, but they knew what they were getting in a really, really talented corner that's got an awful lot of speed. I mean, what a difference it makes that you got a guy that can play out there, play aggressive, play fast, and do the kinds of things that this guy can do. Now, I think it helped him tremendously, and he said in the post-game press conference it really helped. He was going up against people that he knew as well as he knew these guys. I mean, this was just like another 7-on-7 for him because he threw all the same guys he's been practicing against.
Right.
So he took advantage of that in jumping the route on Bolton. But I think that that's the kind of player he's going to be. He really is a good corner, and I think he's going to fit Jim Schwartz's system. He can play that press man cover on the outside, which is something that Schwartz really wants to do and didn't have people that he could trust out there before, but he's got him now. And I think that what you saw was the kid stepped right in and immediately improved the back end of the defense, which they needed. I mean, they had to have either him or somebody like him before they started the regular season, or else they would have been in trouble. At least with him, I think you got a guy out there that's really, really going to help this defense.
All right, Ray, the other one, this is weird because, I mean, Michael Kendricks has been around a long time, and he's kind of been invisible for a couple of years. But in the first two preseason games, he's been very active and had a very good game last night. And I want you to hear this cut. I'm sure you heard it out of the post-game, Ray, but I'm blown away by this. He so doesn't want to be here anymore that he actually explained what he was trying to accomplish last night. Listen to Kendricks after the game. Right, when he says a resume, he's basically saying, I'm trying to, you know, be appealing to another team to take me.
Right.
Did you read it that way?
That's certainly what he's saying.
All right, yeah, so, I mean, are they misusing him? It looks like he could still play.
There's no doubt, and he said this right from the very first day of training camp, was when he came out and said that he tried in the offseason to get them to trade him. The kid's got a big chip on his shoulder. He really does. And if it's driving him to be a better player, that's not a bad thing. I mean, because, you know, the Eagles aren't exactly deep in linebackers right now. I mean,
really. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's not like you got four or five guys that are really good and you're trying to find a way to move this guy. But I'm looking, if you're on a night when you're looking for kind of good things to point to with the Eagles, I mean, his development, his improvement is one of the good things, because this is kind of a win-win for you here. Because if he continues to play the way he's playing now, you may decide to keep him, and you might have a productive player, a guy that can play the way he played a couple of years ago, because we have seen him play well here. Or what he's suggesting here, which is the way he's playing right now. I mean, all these games are being scouted by all the other teams, and there are guys in the press box last night from all the other teams filing reports. And through two games, I mean, both Green Bay and this game, he's been very, very good. So, you know, now he's, if there were some people that didn't get to see a whole lot of him in the last couple of years because he kind of got buried in this defense, well, you're getting a good chance to see him now. And, you know, if he's increasing his value and somebody offers you a draft pick, okay, you can get a better draft pick for him now. But if he continues to play the way he's playing, the Eagles might want to think about hanging on to him.
That's that was my first thought. And that's why these games, as much as anything, Ray, are to determine who's at kind of on the bubble for your roster. And you mentioned Corey Clement before. What guys now are improving their stock and giving themselves a better chance? Clement, I guess, would be one of them.
Yeah.
Are there other guys that you're looking at now and going, you know, this guy might be able to really help? Maybe you got to consider finding a place for him on the roster?
Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, another one, right? Your wide receiver.
Johnson. Yeah. I kind of feel that way. I do. He's been really good throughout, really. I mean, he was very good in the spring. He's been really good in training camp. I mean, pretty much every day at practice, he as a player too, that you kind of say, "Wow, you know, that was really good." And I think that he's, you know, right now, it's going to be tough to move. It's going to be tough to cut him. I think, you know, I look at him, Shelton Gibson, the kid was the fifth round draft pick from West Virginia. I mean, I think they wanted him to be the guy.
Right.
They drafted him to be the guy. You know, they like his speed. But he's been very up and down through the OTAs and then through training camp. He had, you know, had a really bad stretch. Then a couple weeks ago, he came back and had a little bit of a good stretch. But and last night, he forced a big deep pass interference penalty. But of the two, I mean, Johnson has certainly been the more consistent. And I think at the start of training camp, I don't think anybody really thought that much of him. He was a practice squad guy who's just kind of back for a second go-around. But I think everybody thought the draft pick receivers were going to be way ahead. But, you know, this kid has just been going out and playing good football every day. And I think he's now pushed himself into the situation where the coaches can't ignore him. And what he did last night, I think, was just one more step in that direction.
All right, Ray, I got one more question for you. And it harkens back to almost 20 years ago when Andy Reid came here. Sal Palantonio took me and Andy to Dante and Luigi's in South Philadelphia. And Andy had never coached above the quarterback coach level. And Andy was sitting there at one point, and he said, "I'll bet you wonder whether or not I know what the hell I'm doing." And I want to ask you the same thing about Doug Peterson right now, Ray. You got a year now where you've actually studied him as a head coach. I harbor the same doubts now that I did last year. Do you think he knows what he's doing?
I think you're going to find out. You know,
I know, but where are you? You're,
I know how you're leaning.
Well, if you were leaning right now, Ray, where would you be leaning?
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, I'm concerned.
Me too.
I think that I think at the end, by the end of the year, we'll know. You know, I think by the end of the year, we'll know, because you do have some good pieces on offense now. I mean, last year I think your personnel on offense just wasn't really good. And you had a young quarterback that you were just trying to walk through this whole thing. So last year was a hard year, I think, to evaluate any coach on that side of the ball. But this year, I mean, the quarterback's back with a whole year of experience, and the kid is a good player. I really do believe that. You got better weapons at the receiver position. You got a better big back that can get you short yardage and red zone efficiency. So he's got better players now. He's got a more experienced quarterback now. I think this is a year when you're actually going to be able to watch Doug Peterson from week to week and say, yeah, this guy's a good coach. Or by the end of the year, to say, I don't think he is. Right now, I'm in a position where I'm kind of just standing back and just trying to evaluate him game from game. And, you know, preseason is not a really good test for the players, nor is it a very good test for the coaches. But I'll tell you this, Ange, they don't have a whole lot of time right now.
Yep.
And they got to get ready for Washington. I mean, you can't overstate how big that game is. Those first two games are really big. And right now, especially on the offensive side, the coach and the players, they got a lot of work to do.
100% right. Brilliant analysis. Ray, next time you're on, should I say that first that you're a football broadcaster or first that you're a playwright? which identification would you prefer?
I think by that time, the play will have closed, so I'll be back to being a football analyst.
Ray, we love you, man. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate
All right, Ange. Have a great day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.